Hey, I'm Ivy Johnson, your host, and you're listening to Just a Touch's Road podcast, where we talk about classic testimonies from the Bible and hear from people about the life-changing moments that led them to believing in God. Listen and see why I, along with so many others, believe that just the smallest touch of Jesus can transform your life. Hey guys, welcome back, or welcome for the first time. I'm here with Zaggy, my twin today, or as normal people call him, Zach. I know Zach from class, having like a few classes with him. We met last year. Last semester in our radio production class, and we had the opportunity to do a 1 hour radio show, and we chose to do a young adults radio station, or a Christian young adults radio station, and it was really fun. And we ended up doing a segment on the radio station where we talked about the prodigal son. I absolutely love the story of the prodigal son. I just love that testimony a whole lot. And I thought that Zach would be the perfect person to come on, help me tell that story and that testimony of the prodigal son. But anyway, Zaggy, do you want to give a little introduction to who you are and like kind of what you do, what you love?
Well, hey, Iggy, it's good to see you. Guys, me and Ivy, we have nicknames for each other. That come from the radio production class from last semester. And we decided for this young Christian radio show, it was called W103.5 Just Breathe Radio. And we came up with the nicknames Zaggy and Iggy. So if we call each other that throughout this conversation, please disregard it. But no, like she said, I had the pleasure of meeting Ivy last semester as a part of my radio show group, as well as some other great individuals. And we had a blast last semester. And we came together, we clicked, and it was like, now me and Ivy were stuck.
Yeah, we're twins.
We're twins now. So, but like Ivy said, hey guys, it is a pleasure, honor, and privilege to be here on the Just to Touch His Robe podcast this afternoon. I am a senior here at UNA. I'm a transfer student. I come from Madison, Alabama, but I was born in Huntsville. What I currently do here, I'm currently right now the podcast producer for The Floor Alla. I'm also in ministry. I've been in ministry for 8 years. I just turned 26. Ivy just turned 21.
Hey.
So y'all be sure to tell her happy birthday.
Oh, Lord.
But it has been a pleasure to be able to serve alongside student media, not only student media, but to be a part of the communications program. And I'm honored to be here as a guest here on your podcast on today, Ivy. It is such a privilege. So I'm excited to see what you have for me on this afternoon.
Okay, so obviously Zach's a professional. All of that just sounded so smooth. He is very talented at podcasting, and he has his own podcast. You didn't even say that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oops, sorry. My bad, guys.
Say a little bit about that.
So I am also a podcast host. The name of the podcast is called the We Have a Word podcast. And basically what it entails is if you're going through any obstacles that you're currently facing in your life, whatever life throws at you or any challenges that you may be facing right now, we have a word for it. And so it is a Christian-based podcast. And so we have a lot of fun over there as I'm the host. I just allow God to do what he does, man, you know, and everything.
You also had that before this podcasting class.
Yes.
Like, I think that's important to note that. Before the radio production class, you had this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's very knowledgeable about the stuff. He's got us up in a nice studio today.
I cannot stand you.
We were at the university's, oh my gosh, studio. Don't get me wrong, it is very nice. But Zach was like, let's just come over here to the Floor Alla's. I guess this is the Floor Alla's studio.
Yep.
And it's bougie in here, you guys. It smells good in here. And I feel like a queen right now. So,
oh my gosh.
Anyways, this is really cool for me. And I feel like I'm with a professional today. So, but Zaggy and I wanted to talk about the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite stories from the Bible. Definitely like one of my favorite like testimonial stories.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's one of your favorites, but I know that you really like this story.
It's a really powerful story.
I feel like it's just a very good like story of like redemption and just a very good story of an example of how God loves us and sees us. And yeah, so we can just get into that. Okay, so for those who want to follow along or are curious where we're reading from, we are in Luke chapter 15, and it starts with verse 11. And this is where our story begins. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So they divided the father's property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. So, basically, they had this wealthy father, right? He, mansion in the Hamptons kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, an estate. I would say, like, he has this estate, and he has two sons, and this son is like, let me take all your money. Let me get my portion of my living, and I'm going to go to Vegas and live it up while I'm young. I'm going to gamble, go to the clubs, and all this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the younger son, he does all this stuff. Okay, and then he hits rock bottom.
Right.
We pick back up at verse 14. When he had spent everything, a famine took place throughout that country. He began to be in need. So he's out here, he was living it up, and then all of a sudden a famine comes out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
And he's like, uh-oh, what am I going to do now?
That's a good question.
So this man, he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who had sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. So he went from living in a mansion, having all this money, to feeding pigs.
Yeah.
Then in verse 16, it says, he would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything.
Mm.
But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger.
Wow.
This man was trying to eat pig slop. He starts to think, like, I'm living this horrible lifestyle all because, like, I've, like, done this to myself. Like, I went out and spent all of my father's money, my inheritance, and now he's sitting here in this low place, and he's like, dang, like, if I would have just stayed with my father, his servants are living better than I am.
Exactly.
And I feel like we do that a whole lot when we, like, go out and we're being indulged in sin. Maybe you've fallen into sin again, and then you look back at other people, and you're like, dang, if I would have just not done that, if I would have just, like, stayed put, if I would have just kept going to church. And so that's kind of what he's kind of dealing with here. Okay, so he's sitting here thinking, and he's like, should I just go home? But he kind of has his, like, his hesitation about it, because he's like, I've wronged my father bad, and I've screwed up my life. That's what he's thinking. So in verse 18, he starts saying, I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off, and he went to his father. Once again, this is so similar to us. When we've fallen into sin, we're like, dang, like, if I could just be at the bottom of God's, like, totem pole. Like, I'm content with that. You don't even want to go back to him. Like, it sounds to me like the younger son is embarrassed to go back to his father and defeated.
Yes.
And he says, if I could just be, like, one of your hired servants. That's so sad. He feels like he can't even go back to his father. And I know I have felt like that so many times in my life, like when I've fallen back into sin. Especially, I feel like it's even harder when you know, after you know the things of God and you've encountered the Holy Spirit and God's, like, preciousness, and then you screw up. Like, you feel like you screw up again, like, bad, big time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I don't even want to look in the face of God because I feel so dirty.
Yeah.
And I feel like, for me, I start thinking about Jesus, like, giving it all on the cross for me. And I feel like I couldn't even be strong for, like, a month or, like, 2 months, you know? It's so hard to go back.
It is.
It feels embarrassing.
It is.
But as we're about to find out,
there's grace.
There's grace, and God definitely doesn't feel that way about us.
So to basically pick up where you left off, verse 20 goes on, and it says, so he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Oh my gosh. And then his father says to his slaves, or to the servants, says, quickly bring out a robe, bring my best robe, and put it on him. And then also put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And then get me a calf, go ahead and kill that. We finna go ahead and celebrate. And then he says in verse 24, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate.
So basically, his father threw him a rager after he done went out and messed up.
Did you really just say a rager?
It was a clean rage. It was a clean a clean rager. It was a bash.
Okay.
Let's say it was a bash.
Let's call it a birthday bash. Let's call it a birthday bash.
And it was like the father didn't even question, like, son, what did you do? Like, you went out and spent all my money at the clubs. He didn't say that. It was just immediately like, let me get some bling on you. Let me give you these gifts. Let's get the whole town in here. My son has come home. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate.
Wow.
That's how God feels about us when we mess up. It's like, yes, come back to me. I don't care. I don't care what you've done. We're having a party in heaven right now because you've decided to come back to me. Someone just told me, we were talking about like her walk with like Christianity. She told me, I feel like I'm too far gone to call myself a Christian ever again. That's so sad.
Mm.
That is so sad because it, like the prodigal son, it doesn't matter how far gone. You can just take one step back to God.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've been waiting. Yeah. I've just been waiting for you. You're always a son or daughter.
And it's not only about like the embrace, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. like it talks about in the passage of scripture, like he ran and put his arms around him because he was filled with compassion. Yep. So there was an embrace there of like, I love you. Mm-hmm. Like regardless of where you've been, what you're doing, how far off you seem like to be, because it talks about in verse 20, it says, while he was still far off. And his father saw him, you know. But the part that gets me is when his father goes and tells the servants to go bring out a robe. And not just a robe, but the best robe. And then also not just to put any type of ring on his finger, but, just to put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. So now he's reminding him not only where he belongs, but who he belongs to. So remember, the young son is royalty.
Ooh.
And so this has to deal with his identity. Yep. So, like, remember, he had went off to a foreign country like you had just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And talked about how he almost ate the same thing the pigs ate. So he forgot for a moment, in that brief moment, but before he came to his senses. In that moment, he forgot who he was.
Here's the thing. Never once did it change his title from the way he was living. He was always like a prince, you know. He was always heir to the throne.
Yep.
Keep that in mind, kids. Like, so that's how we are. This is a different type of love. This is an unconditional love.
Yes.
And God's love is like no other love that you've experienced before. If you're eating with the pigs, he don't care. You're still his
royal priesthood.
Yes. You're still heir to the throne. Okay, so there's someone else in the story that we haven't really talked about yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to pick up in verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a little chat about the older brother.
Oh. Okay,
so now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. So older brother's out in the field, and he starts hearing this music bumping from the house. And then verse 26, he called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, listen. He said, listen.
Oh my.
For all these years, I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with his prostitutes, this is messy.
Oh my.
This is so messy. Devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours, but we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life.
Wow.
He was lost and has been found.
Wow.
Talk about the older brother.
She loves the older brother.
I feel like people kind of look over his side of the story when we think about the prodigal son, but his is very like true to how a lot of us are. You see how immediately he saw his younger brother getting like celebrated for, you know, not being like honorable to his father for all these years. Like he's like disrespected him and just been getting to do whatever he wants to do. And then the older brother's like, okay, so I've been living on this estate for years. I've been like your golden child. I've checked off all of these boxes.
Right.
And then you're going to throw him a party?
Crazy.
While I'm working?
Right.
And also, I mean, the older brother starts just slandering the younger brother.
Not for real.
Bringing up all of his past. Like, he said he brought prostitutes. Like, yeah, he was getting nasty.
It says that.
And he was like, really? This is who you're celebrating?
Mm.
And the father's like, this is a good father. This is a good father. He was like, but we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found. So what we're looking at here is that the older brother is definitely self-righteous. It's like very similar to how a lot of people are in the South. I talked about this in like my second podcast with Caitlin a little bit, but a lot of us grow up in church and we have this mentality of, okay, well, I'm doing this. I'm going to church. I'm tithing. I'm praying. I'm, you know, I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So what? If you don't know the Lord, all that is so good. Okay, that sounds a little sassy, but all of that is good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're not living like a lifestyle indulged in the world, you know, that's great and all. But do you know the Lord?
Do you have a true intimate relationship
with him? Yes. Do you have a true intimate relationship with him? Do you still feel like you have a hole in your heart and you're still doing all that stuff? If you're still doing, if you feel like you're checking off all the boxes, but you still feel that hole in your heart, you don't know the Lord.
Fact check.
You don't know. Okay, let me rephrase that. You don't intimately know the Lord and his heart, because I can say that. I wouldn't just say that stern without like knowing that. I've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been that person that's been like, okay, well, I go to church every Sunday. I pray before I eat my food. I don't cuss. I don't, you know, like just you start trying to make yourself seem all high and mighty,
mm-hmm.
and you won't get off your high horse.
What's the church term? Holier than thou.
But then at the end of the day, it's like, I don't feel fulfilled by doing all that stuff. And for me, there was a point where I was like doing all that stuff, but I was like, I don't know, is God even real? I would hear people talk about, oh, well, God said this to me, or I felt God was like impressing this on my heart. And I'd be like, liar, like, what are you even talking about? Because I do all this stuff and I've never even felt that before. And that for me is, you don't know what having a true relationship with him is. And if you're like, how do I even do that? It's just by taking the time to get to know him as your father, like in the story.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you do, go to him broken. Go to him broken, and you don't have to have it. You don't have to check off all the boxes. You don't have to stop doing all the bad for him to love you.
Yeah.
He's going to love you through it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I feel like we can look at the self-righteous son in this, see a lot of similarities to how a lot of us can be who have grown up in the church and be ugly to people when they do run to the Lord. And we're like, oh, why are they getting all this? Like, why all of a sudden does God get to love them? Why? They just started going to church here 2 months ago. Why are they already on the stage preaching when I haven't preached yet? Or, you know, like, why they already got a husband or a wife when they just started loving the Lord like 3 months ago? You know what I mean?
Mm.
And we get angry. But a win for them should be a win for us.
Because
my brother, that's my sister. Hallelujah. We're both going to the same place. And it don't matter about the timeline. So, anyways, I done got off something there. I done went off, but.
Yeah, I don't think y'all understand. She said a whole lot right there. And what she's referencing is, when you look throughout the Bible, of course, you see a lot of self-righteousness. But this particular scripture to me in Luke 18, concerning the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, that's what she's referring to. She's not only referring to that, but if you look a little bit further, go to Luke 19. We know about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And we see that correlation between the parable Jesus taught in Luke 18 and the account with Zacchaeus in Luke 19, that crowd is the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. I want y'all to go back and read that for reference when you get the chance. But so now that she's expounded on the older brother, because she loves the older brother, I'm going to talk a little bit about the younger brother. So a lot of us in this walk with Christ, eventually at some point we will come across an attack on our identity, right? So there's three things I see with the younger brother right here. He deals with identity theft, he deals with identity confusion, and he deals with an identity crisis. So when I looked at the beginning of this passage, he says, Father, give me a share of the property that will belong to me. So his dad gives him, you know, his due pay or his inheritance, as we talked about. And he goes and he travels to a distant country and he squanders all of it on just like revelry, like she said, like a rager, or like, you know, just goes and lives it up.
Apparently prostitutes too.
So we see right here that the enemy is in play. And so what he's trying to do, what the enemy loves to do, because his three objectives are to steal, kill, and destroy, right? We see that right here in the passage of scripture that the younger son dealt with identity theft because the enemy is trying to steal his identity from him and make him not realize who he really belongs to. And so in our walks with God, it's the same way because we are constantly being attacked from every side because it talks about in the word that we are perplexed on every side. But thankfully, the young man, you know, when he went off to be hired by somebody else in a foreign country and to go with the pigs and things like that, he was very close to losing his identity. And that's where the crisis came in. How many times in our walk with God do we sit here and we try to convince ourselves, either our flesh, the enemy, or the world will try to convince us and sit here and tell us, oh, you're not anointed. You're not chosen. You're not called. You know, you don't deserve the things God has for you, you know, and everything. Yeah. And so what that is, that's now you're met with a crisis, because if you allow those thoughts to linger and you allow them to fester, eventually after a while, you'll start to believe them.
Wow.
And so here we are. He's met with identity theft because his identity in the kingdom is trying to be robbed from him or stolen from him. We have a crisis because now he's in a foreign country off by himself getting ready to eat something he knows. He knows in the back of his mind. Why I say he knows is because he says he came to his senses. He came to his senses. He knows in the back of his mind somewhere that the Holy Spirit was knocking on his little head and saying, this ain't you. This is not you. And so coming from me personally, from my own personal walk, it's like there's times where I will try to fit in and be like the world or do some of the things that the world does. This was like me, you know, coming into my, when I first came to know Christ and everything. But it wasn't until I had that true intimate relationship with him that I understood. And I was like, Zach, this ain't you. And in the same sense in this passage of scripture, I empathize with the younger son because that I would have to tell myself, I'd be like, that's not me.
Yeah.
And God's like, you're right. That isn't you. That's not who I called you to be. That was never you to begin with. That you're not that guy. And wow. So we see identity confusion because when he goes back to his father, what did he say? He said, I've sinned against heaven and before you. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So now he's confused. He said, treat me, like you just said, like one of your servants. Oh my goodness. We got a lot of confusion going on here. Cause I'm sure his father was like, when he heard that, he was like, what? Well, let me remind you of who you are. So like I told you earlier, he met him with compassion or that embrace. He kissed him, right? Not only that, he went to go get a robe. He asked the servants to go get a robe, put it around his shoulders. Can you please go get me a ring? Put it on his finger. And can you put some sandals on his feet for me, please? Now we finna celebrate. So now the father understood that confusion was in effect. So he wanted to remind him of who he belongs to and that he's royalty. That's why I brought out the royal priesthood portion right there, because that's exactly who God calls us. He calls us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood chosen for a time such as this. So he deals with identity theft, identity confusion, and an identity crisis. But praise be to God that he came back to his senses. Because think about it, what if the younger son didn't come back to his senses? He wouldn't have came home to his father. And so how many times in our relationship with God do we have the world knocking against us? We have the enemy knocking against us? We have our flesh knocking against us? Think about if we didn't come to our senses and basically sit here and go into your isolation. Isolation is not always a bad thing, because when it's from God, then that means he's molding you and he's fashioning you. But he also reminds you of who you are and what he's called you to do.
Wow, that's so good.
We done had church. I'm done.
He brought his glasses today. He's got his pastor glasses on.
Whatever.
He came to preach.
See, now I'm going to take them off. See, you over here playing.
Okay, what we're talking about, Zach normally doesn't wear glasses, and he walked up in here looking all professional today.
Oh,
so I said he came with Bible in hand, glasses on, ready to preach.
Girl, go on.
So, Zach, as we close out, something I do want to mention is, obviously, I think this has been like one of the themes in every single episode that I have recorded, but it's just the simplicity of God being your father And you have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really, really do. And it's so simple, and people make it so complicated.
Yeah.
But as we close out, something I want to ask you, Zach, since you're my guest, one thing that you would say to a non-believer or someone who is struggling with their belief in God?
I think the biggest thing that I could tell a non-believer or an unbeliever or someone who is currently struggling in their faith is, honestly, coming from me, in my own personal walk, I really struggled with my identity or my sense of self. And so I really empathize with this passage of scripture, like I said, with the younger brother, because I've dealt with identity theft, identity confusion, and an identity crisis all with throughout my walks with Christ, especially when I was coming to know him in the beginning, because that is where you'll continue to experience multiple attacks. But in the beginning, that is really where you have that target on your back. The enemy really wants to try to deter you from who it is that God has called you to be, what he's purposed you to do in the kingdom, and how to represent that, because we're meant to be ambassadors. We're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ on a day-to-day basis. So I believe that right now that there are a lot of people who do struggle with their identity in Christ. And we quote the scripture all the time, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So like I said, those thoughts that fester, that come from the enemy, the world, or your flesh, you let them linger long enough, eventually you'll start to believe it.
Yeah.
But which will you believe? Which report will you believe? As we like to say, are you going to believe the world, the enemy, and your flesh? Or are you going to believe the word of God? Which is more solid? Which one is on sand and which one is on firm foundation?
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Which one is it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so I ask myself that every single day. I'm like, which word will you believe, Zach? Are you going to believe the word of God? Are you going to believe the word that the enemy tries to plant into your mind, or the seed tries to plant into your mind?
Yeah.
Or what the flesh tries to do, or what the world tries to do?
Yeah.
You know, and everything. So I believe that that's very essential, especially for those who are just now starting their walks with Christ. Continue to keep your identity secure. Keep your identity secure in Christ.
Yeah, that's really good, Zach. I've enjoyed having you on here today, Zaggy.
Thank you
for
having
me. It's been an adventure. I think that this is a really good message, a reminder for people who are believers and for people who aren't believers, and maybe you're curious about what having a relationship with God is like. And I think this story is perfect to sum it up. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening today. As always, it's such an honor to have your ears. I appreciate it so much. But yeah, I hope you guys have a good week. Thank you for sharing your time with me. As always, it's an honor to have your support. Keep listening to hear more life-changing testimonies like the one you heard today. And if this testimony wasn't convincing enough, keep listening to hear other people's reasoning for believing that just the smallest touch of Jesus can transform your life. Make sure to subscribe and share the good news. And until next time, as always, praying for you guys.